We should have gone to stay with my brother.
Your brother lives in a barn!
Jesus was born in a barn. This is Krampus.
That's a perfect one for Krampus.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle bells.
Merry Christmas!
Looks like Martha Stewart threw up in here.
This is delicious, honey.
A little dry.
Well, mine's delicious.
Mine's dry.
Do you want to trade?
It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
Look at me.
With those holiday greetings and gifts.
How we were going to survive Christmas with 12 people stuck in a house with no heat and no electricity.
Or food.
There's plenty of leftovers, Howard.
Beer it is.
It's the weirdest thing. There's no cars, no people.
How long can this keep up?
We heard something on the roof.
The hell is this?
St. Nicholas is not coming this year. Instead, a much darker ancient spirit.
Those are hooves. Elk or a goat?
What kind of goat walks on its hind legs?
His name is Krampus. He and his helpers did not come to give, but to take.
Everybody, hold on to each other.
He is the shadow of St. Nicholas.
Gonna happen on Christmas.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Bela Lugosi's Undead. I'm AJ.
And I'm Suki Ryan.
And today we're getting our Krampus on.
Alright.
I'm not sure the mic 100% picked up your throat noises, but we're gonna go ahead and move on. Michael Dougherty, congratulations. You are our first two-time directorial guy. For first director we've covered two movies of.
Michael, directorial guy.
Yeah, I don't know how many more we're going to cover because Godzilla is not really in our wheelhouse. So yeah. I don't know, maybe if he ever makes Trick or Treat 2, that would be
yes, please, god damn it, please do it.
But at the same time, we want to go ahead and shine a light on one of our favorite holiday films. Mm-hmm. That is the 2015 film Krampus. Starring Adam Scott, Tony Collette, ooh, David Kocher, Alison Tolman, and a bunch of kids. In all honesty, Krampus is somewhat of a favorite of ours because, yeah, one, it's just kind of silly and ridiculous and horror comedies, yeah, rule. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, HHN.
Yes.
It's definitely one of our favorite events if you've listened to our episodes. We do like Halloween Horror Nights just a little bit.
Yep.
Ryan, do you remember the Halloween Horror Nights Krampus house?
Yes, it was such a cool immersive house. It was kind of the first one they did that was kind of snowy that I can remember, right? I mean,
I think they've probably done them in the past, but it had been a while.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, like, the atmosphere of it was amazing. The smells, all of the pieces of the movie. I think you end up in Krampus's, like, what's it called? The globe room?
His lair.
Yeah, it's like layers, like where you finish the house and then you get scared by Krampus, basically. But like unfortunately, the one thing that I'll always remember about that goddamn house is the stupid tough guys that stared down the characters.
Yeah, we had a really bad run. For those of you who do like Halloween Horror Nights, I'm sure you've had it before, where there's, you know, some people who think that they're the toughest bros in the room, and they just kind of stand there and are like, "Yo, I'm gonna fight you, character who can't touch me."
I know.
Yeah, rather than walk at a normal pace, they like slow down the entire house, and we could barely move. Which I never walked by them, I remember. And then they sped up a little bit, but it didn't help overall. I mean, it's unfortunate. Do you want to feel really old really fast?
Oh, God, yes.
HHN 26.
Oh, man. That is a long time ago.
6 years ago. Six years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's so old, the Shrek Theater no longer exists.
Where it was coming out of.
Yeah. You had to go in and out of Shrek, and then you got attacked by a giant... by a giant monster that likes to be like Santa Claus. With that being said, Ryan, do you want to give us a quick 90-second plot description of Krampus?
All right, so whenever you're ready.
All right, 3, 2, and go.
All right. Kind of feels like, what is it, that movie, Christmas, whatever, with the shitter?
Christmas Vacation?
Christmas Vacation. It kind of feels like that at the beginning. And then a giant storm comes in and they all kind of hate each other and Christmas is getting kind of ruined. And he wishes that they all, like, he hates them and they'd all go away. And then they all get attacked by some evil toys and evil elves and they all have to learn to come together. And then it's a kind of a Fast and the Furious because it's all about family.
Yeah, it's time. I, honest to God, accidentally pulled up a 90-minute timer. So
I have no idea.
You may be in 60 seconds or maybe 90 seconds. I don't know. We'll play it by ear. You gave the whole story pretty quickly. Krampus is one of those silly movies that's, you know, all about family because it's all about the holidays. But also, it's like got this nice dark edge to it that I think more movies should have. There's something about, I think that you hitting on the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is a great point, because that movie has a subversively dark edge to it, even though it's very funny and very silly and very very Christmassy. That movie also is like, by the way, Chevy Chase would definitely cheat on his wife. and that's kind of the vibe through most of Krampus, is that this family would totally stab each other in the back if given the opportunity to. And, there's something fun about that. I think that it adds a lot to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's a really fun movie. Just rewatching it for, like, the third time now. It's one of those movies that you just, like, turn on during the holiday season and kind of get the Christmassy feel, but also, I don't know, kind of creepy and, like, fairy tale-ish. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's got just enough fairy tale, like, vibes running through it where I don't actually think that it's, you know, that it's bad in any way, shape, or form. No. I think that it feels magical realism-y, and that works.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into this crazy film. We talked about it, directed by Michael Dougherty, who also directed our favorite Halloween movie, Trick or Treat, which is crazy that he's just like, I'm just going to keep doing these movies about these holidays, and that's gonna be like my main source of doing my shit.
Yeah,
I mean, what did you think of when you first heard he was gonna make a Christmas themed Krampus themed movie?
I mean, mostly just like, why aren't you doing Trick or Treat 2? But I was interested to see what it was gonna be. Was it gonna be another anthology, or was he gonna do something like this that's a little bit more narrative, right? I do like that this movie sticks to the comedy a little bit more than, like, you know, Trick or Treat has its funny moments, but really it's really dark, you know? So I like it. I think it's a fun movie that not everything has to be horrifying and like really gory or stuff like that, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think that's one of the things that people sometimes get lost on, is that they really truly believe that we can only have, like, very scary horror movies. And this is, like, a great example of a fun, mostly silly horror film that still gets the point across. I mean, it's still pretty creepy. It has some really awesome images. I think that image of the kid, Max, who's played by MJ Anthony, looking at Krampus, and Krampus's, like, silhouette is actually like extremely cool. And it's one of those things that I think people would be better suited to do is just like see how these movies work as visual storytelling and not just necessarily only because it's scary. I think
it
can be both visually like interesting and also it can be funny and also it can still depict violence and be a horror movie.
No, like, absolutely.
I just feel weird when I have to like explain to other horror fans, guys, like Evil Dead is in our genre. We can be both.
I know. I agree. I mean, Evil Dead is much more of like a traditional horror movie too, but it is also very funny and goofy and silly. But I think that this movie is one of those movies that you can actually... I created a list for... Because a lot of people don't like horror, and I obviously love horror. So I created a list of movies that like get more and more creepy leading up to my favorite movies. And so yeah, I think that this can definitely... And another thing that's really good for that is children. Like, as they get older, like, this movie is probably a perfect, like, 11, 12, 13-year-old movie. You know what I mean? Right in that age range where it's creepy and it's scary, but they've got enough abstract thought to, like, be like, okay, a giant jack-in-the-box monster isn't real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's also something to be said about, as much as I would love to, like, start my future children out on The Exorcist. They need baby steps.
Yeah, exactly.
They need baby steps. I just like, for example, using a previously cited film in this discussion, I know my little sister Shannon accidentally saw me watching Evil Dead 1 at home, and the scene where the Deadite stabs one of the characters with a pencil in the ankle, and to this day, she's like, that was the most haunting and upsetting thing I've ever seen in a movie.
And it is a really intense, like, scene.
It is a really intense scene. And I just, like, didn't think about it that, like, maybe my 10-year-old sister shouldn't be seeing this.
Yeah. Yeah, that realistic graphic gore that's on there. So, but the cool thing about these monsters is that these are really unique creatures. You know what I mean? It's almost out of like a Nightmare Before Christmas sort of like thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the toys that they would create, you know?
Well, so one of the things that I think is very fun about this movie is that all of these effects, you'd almost assume that the Jim Henson Company was involved.
Right.
Because they look like Jim Henson style.
Yeah.
Creatures. It was not the Jim Henson Company. However, it was the Weta Effects Company.
Yeah.
Now, the Weta Effects Company is mostly known for their work on the Lord of the Rings movies.
Huh, interesting.
Weta Workshop is the company that was founded by, maybe not founded by, but was like heavily used by Peter Jackson when he was making those movies, and also used for all of the makeup effects on, like, Xena Warrior Princess and, like, Hercules.
Okay.
And so, like, Weta became this, like, really big, popular special effects company during the late 90s and early 2000s. And so it's pretty cool that they got this team to come work on this movie. And they've done a bunch of other horror movies in the past. They worked on 30 Days at Night. They worked on Brain Dead, the Meet the Feebles. They've definitely got Hellboy. They've got some really great stuff in their backlog. The ABCs of Death, even. So it's definitely an underrated part of this movie that they were able to get Weta Workshop to do the designs on these characters.
Yeah, absolutely. The Hellboy effects in those movies, all those monsters are so cool.
Exactly, right? And these monsters are very cool, very unique. Cool. I mean, like, the fact that they were able to pluck them straight out of the movie and drop them into an event like Halloween Horror Nights, where they were real and tactile, and it didn't feel, like, unwarranted that they would be there.
No.
I mean, for that event, that's pretty cool. And that's one of the things that I wish horror movies would embrace more often, because even recently, I've seen a lot of movies that, if they had just used practical effects instead of CG effects, they would be great horror movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, not to throw grenades at movies, but there was a werewolf movie that was, like, really close to being excellent last year that just, like, does not work for me because...
What was the werewolf movie?
The Cursed.
Okay.
The Cursed, if it had been instead using a practical werewolf in some fashion, that would have been the difference to me.
No, absolutely.
But it just misses because of it.
And I think that when they did use CGI, they generally made it, like, silly. Like, the gingerbread, you know, creature.
Yes, exactly. Having that sense of... Having it be, like, a way better version. Remember... Did you ever end up seeing the Ghostbusters Afterlife from a couple years ago? They have CGI Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Okay.
That are not funny and also not cute and also just kind of annoying. And versus the gingerbread men here that are all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think they're way better executed in this movie from six years ago. Who's your favorite character, by the way, in this movie? Because there's a lot of, like, very silly performances going on here.
Because you obviously... How you do this to me?
Yeah, I mean,
there's so many good characters.
So, I mean, like, the big four are the adults. You have Adam Scott being, you know, the normal dad. He seems like the straight man. I wouldn't necessarily put him in it. I love Toni Collette, who's, like, one of our all-time scream queens.
Yeah.
As, like, just, like, a mostly frustrated... housewife who's found, like, this joy in cooking, and everybody hates her food, no matter how, like, she's a very, like, particular kind of person.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And then David Kocher and Alison Tolman play the excellent, like, kind of a mess parents. Like, just kind of hilarious.
Both of them are amazing. It's really hard not to give it to Toni Collette just because I love her so much. Like...
Fair. I mean, and then also Kachana Ferrell, who plays Aunt Dorothy.
Yeah.
She's really funny.
She's so funny.
She's way too good for Two and a Half Men. I do like her a lot as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole word. And as soon as you asked me that question, I was like, oh, crap, dude. Like, I needed to think about that one before we started recording to come up with a real answer. They're all so great. Like you said, Adam Scott just plays Adam Scott. He, like, grounds the movie. Because without him being, like, a normal dad, like, it would just be absurd, right? Because you've such strong characters in Toni Collette and David Kocher and Alison Tolman and Cochetta Ferrell. Like, they're all just so, like... They're like caricatures, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I think all four of them are amazing, and obviously Adam Scott's great too, as like a just a performer in general. But I don't know, it's hard to say. I think I'm gonna go with Toni Collette or Cochetta Ferrell because that character Aunt Dorothy is just so freaking funny. Like,
I agree. I think those are the best two.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my two picks as well. I mean, I think I'm gonna slightly lean Kachana Ferrell, because I think that she just gets, like, when she's like, okay, kids, let's learn how to make schnapps.
I know. they're like, okay, you watch the kids. And she's like, oh, I didn't even like being a child when I was a child.
I think my favorite line is when she's like, ah, oh, we're fucked. And they're like, how do you know that's what you said? Yes. She's like, because I know exactly what it's like, what it looks like when life comes at you with its pants down. Like, oh my God.
So many good one-liners. I think she has the best lines in the movie, period.
Like, I think that's undeniably the case.
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right, so is there a creature other than the Krampus himself that, like, freaks you out?
I mean, I was just, like, looking at the images, and the one that's, like, really, really creepy, which is, like, awesome because it feels, like, straight out of Nightmare Before Christmas, is the Jack-in-the-Box, like, snake creature. Right? Like,
yes,
separated mouth, like the alien mouth that it has.
to me, that's easily the most terrifying, although I also am a pretty big fan of the evil teddy bear.
Yes, the evil teddy bear is pretty cool, too.
I also like that this movie has, like, a scene where it takes a minute. It's like, by the way, we're going to explain the past now. We're not going to go backwards in time. Our budget's not that high. So we're just going to go ahead and animate it.
Yes, I know. I also love the claymation, though. That was really cool.
Yes.
Well, I mean, so, I don't think it was actually claymation, but it was, like, claymation animation, right?
Right, yeah. It's, like, hand-drawn in a very stylized way.
Yeah, like Coraline-ish.
Yep. And then there's all these discussions about the fact that because everything was practical on set, or so much of it was practical, that they were, like, forcing the cast to run through, like... They had to run through a bunch of shit. They had to run through, like, the snow.
No.
With no shoes on. They had, like, temperature controlled all of the... 'Cause they filmed the whole film in New Zealand because they were next to Weta. So they really kind of put the cast through the ringer, even though the whole movie films on sound stages.
Wow.
And I think that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They had to like live through it. Have you seen these alternative posters for Krampus?
I have not seen the alternative.
Oh my god! But I'm sure they're awesome. It's IMDb. It's like picture 108 and 107. I like want them. Like,
I'll keep that in mind. I will definitely keep that in mind. I'll get you pictures 108 and 107.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, I love it when they're able to do like that many like versions of the artwork too. Like that's always fun to me. No, I also think that like one of the secret performances that really does kind of unlock the movie as a whole is Krista Stadler, who plays the grandma.
Yeah, Omi.
Like, she's secretly very, very good in this movie.
Yes, I agree.
Like, what was your favorite part about her in the movie?
I mean, I don't know why they made this decision that she was going to speak German the whole time and then all of a sudden be able to speak English. I did not like that portion. But yeah, I like the backstory of how, you know, it kind of like the movie starts out and there it's, you know, people trampling each other. It's like commercialism and like all this stuff. And she really brings it back to like the idea that, you know, the thing that I love about horror is it was always told as cautionary tales to like get you to act in certain ways to, you know, be fearful and afraid of things. And the story that Omi tells is that it's, you know, Krampus comes when you lose hope in your family and you fall apart and you no longer have the like faith that like, you know, Christmas is real and that family should be loved and all this type of stuff, you know? So I really like the backstory that comes with Omi.
I would also say that it goes back to the idea that you were saying earlier about this being a very fairy tale driven story.
Yes.
That it feels correct that it would be in this scenario for these characters.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right? I agree. So, I mean, when it comes to this movie in general, what would you say? Would you say Thanksgiving time movie or purely Christmas movie?
I think that this is a good one to watch between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Sure.
In the sense that we can, like, it is obviously a Christmas movie, but when people start watching it, it's entirely up to them. Like, I know anymore, you know, with the Hallmark Channel stuff, people start watching Christmas movies a little bit earlier every year. Oh God, but at the same time, but I mean, I got nothing against Hallmark movies. They know what they're good at and they do it. That's awesome. But at the same time, I would argue that, you know, sometimes you're not always in the mood for something quite so Christmassy.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that this one starts on Black Friday is a pretty good indicator.
That's actually true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that scene within itself is, like, such an American scene, you know what I mean? Where people are just trampling each other and, like, fighting over, like, objects and toys and things like that. That's just, like, I don't know. I do all of my Black Christmas shopping online because I don't want to deal with any of that.
Fair enough.
So
here's a question for you.
Go for it.
Would you have preferred, if this movie was rated R, because there is technically a naughty cut of this movie that is not the one that we watched for this recording.
Ooh.
We just watched the regular version, but there's a naughty cut of the film.
I would love to see a rated R version of this movie. I do not think it would have done as well, because I do feel it's kind of like older adult movie, right? Because it takes that whole Christmas time feel into effect, right? And builds on it. But I personally would love to see the snake creature fucking people up and like all these little gingerbread creatures like shooting people's eyes out with the fucking nail gun.
Okay, so let's see, what are some of the changes from the naughty cut to the new one? Let's see, naughty cut, for your sake, just stay the fuck out of my kitchen. So drop an f-bomb.
Okay,
here's a good one. They let Beth go.
Yeah.
Aunt Dorothy says, "You know, you kids don't have a damn bit of patience. When I was your age, I didn't hear from my boyfriend for 2 years while he was off fighting Charlie."
Oh, God damn. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's okay that they cut that one.
Yeah, I think we can cut that one.
Jesus. It's mostly a bunch of Dorothy making some very
inappropriate raunchy joke.
Yeah, a suicide joke.
Oh God.
adding a little comedy here or there. Yeah. I don't know. There seems to be some sweet moments between the sisters at times,
yeah.
But overall, it seems like, yeah, I'm not really. It seems like more of extensions of already existing scenes, not like whole new scenes from nowhere. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I really would. What I would want to see is just like a really dark, fucked up. Like, which I'm sure there are. There's so many Krampus movies. I'm like on the IMDb. There's just so many, but they seem to be all rated very poorly. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, this is easily the best of the. I would say pretty clearly the best of the Krampus movies,
yeah.
Other than maybe Rare Exports.
Yeah.
Which, have you ever seen that one?
No.
So that one's like an 80-minute. I forget which country. I want to say it's from Sweden, and it's basically like. They accidentally find Krampus, like, underneath the ice.
Oh, and, shit.
Yeah, and he, like, then murders people.
Dude, that's fucking dope.
Okay, it is a Finnish, so it's from Finland.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's considered, like, a pretty fun little flick. Nice. The other one that comes to mind is Santa Slays.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I have seen
when
that
I
one.
Tell you that Santa's Sleigh is like one of my favorite, like, silly horror movies,
yes.
Oh boy, that, I mean, nothing will ever make me laugh harder than when Goldberg yells ho ho hos at the strip club.
Yes. Dude,
or when they
go ahead.
I was like, they use a rocket launcher to blow up his bison.
Yeah. What's the new one they're coming out with? I can't freaking wait. See it. It looks so good.
Oh, you're talking about the new one with David Harbour?
Yes.
Yeah, that one is called... Give me a second. That one's more like Die Hardy, though.
Yeah.
Than it is like a horror film.
Right.
But that was called Violent Night.
Violent Night, that's right.
I mean, yeah, whatever. It, you know, it's been a good year for movies. I'm willing to give it a go. I think that's fun... That there's like this more subversive edge to Christmas with some of these movies. I think that they can be not just like as dark as something like Black Christmas, already covered earlier on the show.
Right.
But to have something fun and lighthearted and also like still a horror movie is definitely something that we love to see.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I agree. I think that you can add this to your list of like the ones that you can show to your partner that doesn't really like horror. The ones that you can start showing your older kids. The you know, this is like a fun, dark Christmas movie. I will say it's like scarier than like it could have been. Like it could have been pretty lighthearted and like ridiculous.
Yep.
But like they did add some things in it that are actually probably terrifying. I would say definitely above the age of 10. Like,
yeah, so. I would say that the monsters that they're able to create from are actually terrifying.
Yes.
And apparently on the set they just kind of like threw the monsters at the actors and they got attacked and they didn't like rehearse.
Oh god.
So like those reactions are genuine reactions when they're in the when they're getting attacked.
Wow.
Another like fun little fact, by the way, that we forgot to mention earlier. The Gingerbread Men, two of them are voiced by Seth Green and Justin Roiland.
What? That's
so
amazing.
I mean, yeah, just like again, there's just, like, fun little things like that about the movie that are just, like, really enjoyable and just, yeah, dope as shit.
That, yeah, I agree. Do you want to jump into the awards? What do you think?
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into some of these awards. So let's go ahead and start at the top. Best kill. Best kill of this movie.
Ugh, there's not many, like, honestly, the kills, there's not many, like, kills in this movie.
I would argue that... There's two that stand out to me.
Okay, go for it.
There is, I mean, we see her at the end of the movie, but I don't know how real the end of the movie is.
Right.
If we're being honest. So I would say when the daughter goes out and gets attacked.
That was the only one I was thinking of, yeah.
So that's the one that stands out to me. The other one is the DHL guy frozen inside the car.
Yes. That was pretty cool, too. I like that one. But it was also in the same scene, right? The rest of the kills, like, everyone else is so important, they've kind of got plot armor-ish.
Yeah, they just kind of hold them off to, on them for a while. Oh, you know, when Concetta Ferrell gets, like, sucked out the window.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when the elves jump through the window after her.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, so, like, those, I mean, again, we don't know how killy that is, but... Right. Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, violence on screen, like blood effects or anything.
Yeah.
That would be a fun version of this movie. So there were, like, blood effects.
Yes, yes. I would like it to be, like, I would like it to get gritty real fast.
No, I just want, like, Krampus with gritty, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like, with gritty playing Krampus.
You know, in Skyrim where you could, like, just edit out the dragons and make Thomas the Tank Engine?
Oh, that but gritty.
Yeah, I would love that so much.
For those of you who do not know what the hell we're talking about, Gritty is a terrifying mascot. But also the mascot of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I am so mad because I forgot to send you, on Thanksgiving, the picture of Gritty eating a gritty turkey. I'm so pissed.
Gritty
just now dawned on me.
Gritty turkey. He doesn't give
a
fuck. Would. Like... All right, did we pick one, or?
I think it's the same scene, right? It's the
DHS,
the daughter
dying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty straightforward. All right. Next award, let's go for the Marion Crane Gone Too Soon. Which character?
The daughter, dude. I was so surprised they killed her off so soon.
Yeah, I feel like she could have been used more, way more efficiently.
Yeah. I liked her storyline. I liked the way that she interacted with Max. Like, you know what I mean? So it was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that she was actually a very fun character.
Yeah.
It's odd. It is something that feels, like, off about that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, the Tom Savini best effect of the movie.
Definitely, for me, the Jack-in-the-Box snake. That thing is so freaking cool.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Not even a question in my mind.
Yep.
Especially when he falls out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
He's so enormous.
Yeah.
And then the bells start dinging, and he starts doing his little clappy hands.
Yes. Like,
yeah, that, like,
awesome.
I think that easily my favorite effect.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Krampus is terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's also just mostly, like, intimidating.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wouldn't consider that effect as cool as the full-blown,
because they, like, make it look like a toy. Monster. Like, it's, like, pleasant, and then its mouth opens. And it's, like, the Predator.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yes. Okay, scared as shit moment of the week. I think this one's also pretty easy.
Okay.
Just because there's not a lot of scary moments in this movie.
Yeah.
It is, again, you know, the daughter being stuck underneath the car.
Yes.
is terrifying.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I
mean, it's one of the few times, and when you see the car moving back and forth when Beth's getting eaten by the monsters.
Yeah.
I think that is terrifying.
Yes, I agree. That was probably the scariest part of the movie. I think so as well. Because everything else is so
visual. It's pretty much all
visual.
Downhill. Yeah. Yeah, and again, there's also a lot more, like, comedy just darted in there.
Yeah.
All right, biggest regret. I'm pretty sure we know who's got the biggest regret of this movie, but there's really a handful of choices we gotta go ahead and pitch. Aunt Dorothy didn't need to come.
No,
Aunt Dorothy almost didn't. She could have stayed back at her house. Howard makes it very clear, David Kocher's character, makes it very clear they could have gotten his brothers.
Yeah.
So he tells us several times that we could have gone to his brother's house.
He wins that one.
So I feel like he wins it by default.
I know.
On the flip side, you know, Tom and Sarah not getting divorced earlier.
Yeah, that's true. One of them would have made it out, probably.
Yeah. All right, so biggest regret goes to Howard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, cool. Most overconfident character. Mm-hmm. Who's the most overconfident character in this movie?
What do you think about the daughter? Think it's
her
boyfriend's house.
Yeah, she's supposed to go see her boyfriend so bad.
I know.
Yeah, I guess that'd be it. I mean, it's either that or it's, again, David Kocher.
Right.
He's wildly overconfident.
Wildly overconfident, falls asleep, even though he's overconfident. You gotta protect your flock.
Yeah,
can we give it to David Kocher, because it's way funny?
Yes. We do have to give it to him, because he's also, like, such an idiot. Like, such a dang-ass idiot.
I know.
All right. The next one up is the Norman Bates moment of the movie, when the whole thing turns. I would say that's when the lights go out and the power goes down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because it's like, you know, mostly fun, silly comedy at that point. And then, obviously, once they lose the power, the monsters are there, they're killing everybody, so.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Alright, I don't have any icon feedback, however, we did skip over a couple of awards bodies that did nominate this film. So let's go ahead first to the Fangoria Awards.
Okay.
They went ahead and nominated it for 3 awards. The first one was Best Makeup Creature Effects. It went up against We Are Still Here, Bone Tomahawk, Deathgasm, Deathgasm a second time. Mm-hmm. That must be wrong. and The Hollow. Pretty clear that this won a Best Makeup and Creature Effects Award.
Yeah. I agree on all that. What is it, Deathgasm? Like, is not really many creatures, is there?
No, not really. Yeah. All right. Best Supporting Actress. I guess Krista Stadler was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for playing the grandmother. I can see that. She ended up losing to Jessica Chastain for Crimson Peak.
Okay.
So can't really argue with that either.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then the last one is Best Wide Release Film. This is an interesting category, so I'm curious what you think. Best Wide Release Films were It Follows, Crimson Peak, Krampus, The Gift, and The Visit.
Oh, I mean, I don't think Krampus is better than a lot of those movies, unfortunately, but...
Unfortunately, yes. I think that It Follows and Crimson Peak are better.
Yeah.
And I like The Gift quite a bit, actually.
Okay.
I just think that it's not as serious scary as the other ones, so it just kind of put it at somewhat of a disadvantage.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other films they could have nominated from this year, because I'm just kind of scrolling through and seeing what else they did nominate. And most of the good stuff was on the television side. It's one of those rare years where there was, like, a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
Like, at this time, for example, Ash vs. Evil Dead, Hannibal, and Penny Dreadful were all on at the same time.
Wow.
As well as Bates Motel.
Wow.
So...
That's pretty
At this
dope.
Moment, horror television was pretty dope.
Yeah.
You know what movie did not get nominated was What We Do in the Shadows.
Really?
It won Best Screenplay, but did not get nominated for Best Wide Release Film.
I love the movie. I tried to watch the TV show, and it doesn't have the same magic as the movie. I like the TV show.
I happen to disagree with you, but I understand.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of the movie as well, but the TV show is definitely better.
I've seen I've only seen the first, like, 2 episodes, and I'm like, I don't know.
Fair. I think you need even a little bit more time, especially because Matt Berry is ridiculous.
Okay.
Meanwhile, at the Saturn Awards, they had a very similar lineup. Their best horror film lineup was Crimson Peak, Insidious Chapter 3, It Follows, Krampus, The Visit, and What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, I mean...
Noticeably absent from the... Chainsaw Awards, by the way, no Bone Tomahawk, and probably more important, this may just come down to, The Gift was not nominated.
Yeah.
So they may not have considered it in that category? I don't know. They stubbed it, though.
Yeah.
So it's basically It Follows versus Krampus.
It's kind of cool that it even got nominated.
It Follows versus Crimson Peak.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool that it even got nominated. The thing is, like, it's such a light, like, comedy. It's almost like it's almost like a family movie. Like, you can't really put it in that category. You know what I mean?
So interestingly enough, by the way, The Gift did not qualify for horror. It was under the best thriller category.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess it
Which
is
it
horror. Go ahead.
It lost to Steven Spielberg's Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
Definitely two movies that are not trying to do the same
thing. No! Oh my god, that's interesting.
But anyway, so that is a breakdown. It's in lieu of an Icon Award. We'll go with that.
All right.
Do we have a Randy Award for this movie? Oh, I'm sorry. It's no longer the Randy Award.
It's the Corey Award. I'm trying to think. I don't really think there's a character that I really dislike. Maybe the bully, like, girls?
Yeah. I still feel like that's mostly because of how they're raised.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really a character that, like, annoys me in this movie. Most of them are, like, the kids are all just kind of kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the adults are fun.
Yep, I agree. Oh my god, the names of the elves are Lumpy, Clumpy, and Dumpy.
Ryan?
Can you hear me?
Perfect. Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. A Mandy Award. Which actor or actress was at their peak when they were in this movie?
Yeah.
You know, Michael Dougherty immediately does takes this and he goes and does Godzilla.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not Michael Dougherty again. Mm. Keep trying to give him the award.
I know.
But he's not at his peak yet.
He'll never be in our peak with the horror.
So. Yeah, yeah, unfortunately not. This is actually pretty tough because the person who I would argue might win this award by accident, and it's because Hollywood just doesn't know how to use her, is Alison Tolman, who plays the wife of David Kocher.
Sure.
She is exceedingly talented, and they cannot seem to put her in the right roles. Mm. She was excellent on the Fargo television show.
Yeah.
Like, arguably one of my favorite television performances of the last decade.
Sure.
And she was pretty funny on the show called Downward Dog. But after that, she just hasn't really been given, like, the roles to succeed. It kind of sucks. Yeah. I feel bad for her.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, that's more, like, just a bummer than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully something changes for her. But this was kind of, like, when she was at, like, a pretty high mark in her career, and she looked like she was going to go on to be, like, a huge star, and then it just kind of didn't happen.
Yeah.
And it just kind of sucks.
It does suck.
Right. All right, and then last up, who won the movie? Who do you think, like, walks out of this movie and is, like, high horse, like, yeah, that was awesome. I'm going to go do awesome things now.
I guess the only person that it could be is probably Michael Dougherty, right? Like, he got...
It's true. Like, he made this movie, it made money, and they gave him Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I guess it's pretty much a default answer on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, Adam Scott and Tony Collette have done better work before and since.
Yeah.
So, this is not like their...
Yeah, I mean, he went on to do all of the, you know, X-Men, Godzilla, so...
Right, so, yep, I would say that's a pretty good answer, mm-hmm. that Michael Dougherty once again wins the movie and just keeps on going up.
Yeah.
But still never had to speak.
No.
No,
I hate it. If he just needs to just stick with what he's good at, like making these holiday spooky movies.
Yeah. So. All right, so with that... do you have anything else you want to bring up about Krampus?
No, I guess outside of just what we're covering, I've been playing the game The Quarry, which is like...
Oh, you're finally playing it.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Okay, so where are you at? I have to know. Oh, you finished it. Okay, yeah. So how many people did you get out alive?
I have all of the main characters I got out alive, but I ended up killing Chris and... None of the people survived, and I didn't kill the big guy, and I didn't kill the father, but I did kill the mom.
Oh, see, you're playing it too safe, Ryan.
Yeah,
you gotta let many of your characters die.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Let me see. Last time I played through, I'm trying to remember exactly who got in, who got out. Let me quickly pull up. Yeah. The list. So Brenda Song definitely died.
Okay.
She did not survive in my version.
Sure.
Ted Raimi died. Ted Raimi did not die. I'm sorry. He's the only person of that family who lived in my version. The rest of that family died horrible deaths.
Oh, God.
I think that's it. I think I got everybody else out. Oh, I did not get the kid out. The one who, like, first gets bit at the very beginning.
Oh,
Skyler. Yeah. Yeah, he did not survive on my side.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So much fun. I know, and the replay...
You and I gotta see if we can do a co-op version.
That would be so much fun. I would love that. You have an Xbox?
I do not have an Xbox. Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
I do have an Xbox, but we'll figure it out.
Okay, sounds good. All right, cool. Yeah, we should do a co-op. I wonder if we could, what's it called?
We should just do an episode on the game.
Yeah, exactly. I think we should do that, and then we should see if we could do a, what's it called, a stream?
Yes,
that would be really fucking cool.
All right, guys, you heard that here. We're going to do The Quarry in some way, shape, or form. So get playing.
Woo!
Because it's dope as shit.
Definitely.
So,
it's on
I mean,
sale.
Supermassive Games is pretty awesome. So definitely.
I love it. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So with that, I am AJ.
And I am Spooky Ryan.
Peace out, guys.